Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And I'll tell you this much too, Donnie, and I hate the taunting call. It's an absolute joke, just like hits on quarterbacks. But if they're going to call somebody when they get up and start jawing in somebody's face like they do on, about 70% of every play in college and pro football, and then all of a sudden one of these jackasses decides it's time to call it and decide a game. Remember they decided a game here with Cassius Marsh?
Yep.
Merely looking at the Steelers' sideline, got a taunting call. That, by their definition, whatever the hell it is, was taunting what Ja'Marr Chase did last night when he's going along the goal line and waits for the defender to come to him and then shows him the ball. That's not taunting, and I hate the call. It shouldn't even exist. I love that he did that, but if you're going to call taunting, if you're going to make it a big deal, that was taunting.
Which I'm surprised last night we didn't see that because it was the Cleet Blakeman officiating crew.
Yeah.
And it feels like every time they are put on a big game, they want to make themselves as much as part of that game as the players themselves.
Yeah, exactly. So let's call 51% of your body weight on the quarterback, but not if you slap him in the face on the final play. Get out of here with this. Nick Kostos is on the line, the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the You Better You Bet podcast for more analysis. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. Nick, are you over the World Series yet? You're a Yankees guy, right?
Yeah. Well, we're way past it at this point.
Okay.
Expected them to lose.
All right.
The Yankees officially exercised the option on Aaron Boone's contract for next year, which is met by me with apathy. I think the Yankees have a 0% chance to win next year's World Series. Zero.
Well, that's better than what the Pirates have.
Well, I'd say it's equal, probably.
They brought Garrett Cole back. I thought for a second there it was an old bring him home whenever he first opted out.
Honestly, like I think at this point, like I would root for the Pirates against the Yankees. I want the Yankees to be as embarrassed as possible. So I'm off it right now, and maybe I'll be a Pirates fan next year.
I'm sorry to bring it up. I just wanted to check on your well-being.
That's okay.
Let's get into Steelers Commanders. This has a chance to be a very entertaining game. What are some of the best bets therein?
Well, I think, Joe, we need to start talking about the point spread of the game, which has fluctuated like wildly back and forth off the key number of 3. Now, just, you know, whatever your education level is when it comes to sports betting and betting on the NFL, one of the most important things is 3 is the most important number. So there's a huge difference between 2.5 and 3, 3 and 3.5, for instance. So this keeps bouncing back and forth from Commanders either being a 2.5-point home favorite or a 3-point home favorite. The intimation, by the way, is that Washington is slightly better than Pittsburgh. If they were to play on a neutral field, Washington would be a small favorite in the game. So what's happening is when the point spread is 2.5, people bet Washington and bet it up to 3. And when it goes to 3, people bet Pittsburgh plus 3 because that number is really important. So what I would say is to people out there, and I'm sure this is mostly Steelers fans, if you want to bet the Steelers, bet plus 3, not plus 2.5. And if you want to bet Washington, bet -2.5, not 3. Very important if you're looking to bet this game. Now, that's the betting stuff. Now, my opinion. I like Pittsburgh in the game, and I like Pittsburgh +3. This is Steelers coming off their bye. I love the Mike Williams trade, and I don't know like how much of an impact he's going to make in this game, but theoretically, like, fits what Russell Wilson does, throw the ball down the field off play action, big body in the red zone along with George Pickens. Like, I really like that trade for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll see if how much he does this weekend, but the way that you can really tag this Washington defense, and my team tried to do it last week, they just can't throw the ball at all. The Giants did it last week. They ran the ball on almost every play in the first half. Like, Zach Frazier is going to be back for this game. I want to know how the Commanders are stopping Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren in this game, and the Steelers controlling the game. So at 3 +3, give me the Pittsburgh Steelers. Water gun to my head, pick the winner of the game. Guys, I'll take the Steelers to win this game on Sunday.
Nick, when it comes down to Vegas setting lines for games like this, do they take into account facts like Mike Tomlin winning his last 7 games after the bye and him being 25-6 all time against rookie quarterbacks? Do things like that get worked into how they set lines for a game like this?
Well, I would say just something to consider is that, like Andy Reid off the bye, for instance, Donnie, like, everyone knows that, right? I wouldn't show up if I'm looking to bet a Kansas City Chiefs game with Andy Reid off the bye and say, wow, I've got this great angle. Andy Reid never loses off the bye. Everyone knows it. Like, if everyone knows it, that means people that bet a lot of money know it, and it's already kind of factored into the number. The other thing to consider with the idea of, like, when Vegas sets numbers is that there's an opening number, and then that number is shaped over the course of the week by people betting into it. So the idea that, like, Vegas knows, or, like, Vegas tries to, like, like, Vegas is a person, like a shadowy cabal of people, like, trying to trap people into doing things. It's like, no, like, lines are shaped by people betting money into them. So I think what we're getting in this game again, Donnie, is like an actual disagreement as to whether Washington -3 is the right number in the game or not. But yes, like, generally all of these things are factored in. Like, is a team playing on a short week? Is it a divisional game? Like how about San Francisco and Tampa, just as an aside this weekend? Tampa just played on Monday night on the road, short week, and the game went down to the final play, and the team that they're playing, San Francisco, is coming off a bye week. Like, major advantage for San Francisco rest-wise, and that has been getting baked into the betting market for that particular game, just as one example.
Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Nick Kostos, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, on the line. Nick, our producer today, Joel Nelson, has been known to wager on a game or two, and he has a question.
Love that.
Yeah, Nick, I've been looking at touchdown scores for this weekend's slate of games. Ones that stood out to me, DeAndre Swift, +100. Justin Jefferson, -110. Drake London, if he plays, +150. And there's no Marshawn Lattimore anymore for the Saints. And then DeAndre Hopkins, +175 off the big game. So, any thoughts on those? And if there are any that you like this weekend?
Can I, do I have, Joe, it's your show guy, right? Do I have your permission to, like, pontificate for like 30 to 60 seconds here on my philosophy of betting anytime touchdowns?
I wouldn't think of turning you down on that. Please.
Because this gets a little in the weeds. So, Joel, my answer, those bets can win. I'm not saying they can't win. I bet anytime touchdowns very differently than that. And I will go to last night's game as an example. So I'm looking for bigger prices where I think the market, the betting market, actually has the prices wrong for players. And I will give you, I hit both. I don't always win these. I hit two of them last night at huge prices last night in the Ravens-Bengals game. So number one, so Deontay Johnson is someone you guys are all familiar with, obviously, right? So Deontay Johnson gets traded to the Ravens. Deontay Johnson's first game with the Ravens, he barely plays. Nelson Agholor is the third receiver on almost every play in game one for Deontay Johnson. The anytime touchdown market last night had Deontay Johnson as much likelier to score than Nelson Agholor. Like, that is an assumption that could very well be incorrect. Deontay Johnson barely played last night, and when he did, he was terrible. The Ravens scored a touchdown early in the game. Guess who caught it? Nelson Agholor. Like, we bet against an assumption that the betting market made. Nelson Agholor was like +750 to score a touchdown last night. And another one, so this is like, I get in the weeds with this stuff, right? For Cincinnati, Eric All, who's their rookie tight end, like pass-catching tight end, he tore his ACL last week out for the year. When T. Higgins is out for Cincinnati, which he was last night, Mike Gesicki is basically the slot receiver. So that leaves two other tight ends for Cincinnati. Drew Sample is the blocker. Tanner Hudson is the other receiving tight end. So if Gesicki is the slot receiver and Eric All's out for the season, then Tanner Hudson has to be valuable. He's plus 1350 to score last night. He was one of the stars of the game for the Bengals. He scores at plus 1350 last night. So I'm not telling you DeAndre Swift and Justin Jefferson can't win. It's not how I bet anytime touchdowns. I'm looking like further down the board where I feel like markets are mispriced.
Jolie, was that a satisfactory answer?
I like it. Yes. Thank you, Nick.
Nick, that was unbelievable. All right, let's dive a little deeper into Steelers Commanders. What about Jaden Daniels? Steelers have a great record against rookie quarterbacks. He's been electric this season. What should people be looking at in that matchup?
Yeah, I do think this is a game where Daniels can have some success because with the way Washington like runs its offense, like it's predicated on getting the ball out very quickly. Daniels is like Lamar Jackson with the way he's able to evade pressure. So I actually think like this is a matchup where Jaden Daniels, I don't want to say neutralizes TJ Watt and the Steelers pass rush. Like that's too good. Like the pass rush is too good for that to happen. But I don't think this is a... This is not like your average rookie quarterback that the Steelers are going against right now. This one's really, really good. So I do think that Jaden Daniels is going to have some success in this game. Again, more where I don't think this is Steelers defense dominates the Commanders offense. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. But what I do think Pittsburgh has the advantage, I think Pittsburgh can possess the ball, will win the time of possession battle, run the ball the entire game, and be able to convert. And this has been a problem for Washington this season. I'll go back to week two, Commanders against the Giants. Washington scored 21 points in that game, kicked 7 field goals. Like, Washington in the red zone has had some problems this year converting. And their big, like, their big bruising running back, Brian Robinson, didn't play last week against the Giants. He's going to play on Sunday, but there's no way he's 100%. And then it's Austin Eckler, who's, like, was a good goal line running back earlier in his career, but I don't think he's that now. So I think the Steelers have the edge in terms of scoring touchdowns in the red zone. So if Washington's kicking field goals, Pittsburgh scoring touchdowns, Pittsburgh wins the time of possession battle, that's how I think the Steelers win the game. It's not like they're not going to shut Jaden Daniels down. I don't think that's going to happen, at least.
Nick, we've seen back-to-back-to-back 100-yard games from Najee Harris. If you're betting on his prop on Sunday, do you continue to ride the Lightning, or are you a little bit worrisome that it comes to a crashing halt?
Well, I don't think it comes to a crashing halt. The Washington's run defense is not good. The Steelers' offensive line should ostensibly be healthier coming off the bye, right? I guess here would be my question for you guys, and I'm not in like my part of preparation for the week yet to be able to fully answer this. Like, Jaylen Warren's going to play in this game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we feel like now Jaylen Warren, like another week off, is it going to be more Jaylen Warren now, or do we think that they're going to ride Najee Harris like it's been? If it's going to be what it's been, Najee Harris's rushing prop is 62.5. He's going to smash that if Najee's going to be like the one in this game. But if it's 1A and 1B, like Najee can still go over, but then like can Jaylen Warren go over also? So I think like maybe need to read a little bit more and see a little bit more. How about this? Instead, like I like the Najee over. I think that both running backs, any Steelers running back in this game, will find success.
Nick, we'll let you out here on this MVP race. Is Lamar like a heavy favorite right now in the betting odds? And who do you think will eventually win it?
All right, so I just want to make sure that I have the right numbers for you guys right now off of last night. And last night was a really high leverage game for MVP. Because if the Bengals had won, and I like the Steelers to win, the betting market says they're more likely to lose, right? They can still win, obviously. Then since he's 5-5, Pittsburgh 6-3, the Bengals play the Steelers twice, including in week 18, and they'd be a game behind the Ravens. So Burrow was 19-1. Like, you could have made the case that Joe Burrow, if you like the Bengals before the game last night, was the bet. But then they lose. Now they're 4 games back of Baltimore, including Baltimore's head-to-head sweep at the tiebreaker. Like, Burrow basically can't win anymore. Like, you can't win MVP and not win your own division. So Lamar is the heavy front runner at this point. Lamar's plus 170. So I think that the only way Lamar loses MVP, there's two ways. Number one is if the Steelers, like, basically win out and win the AFC North. Maybe not win out, but they play next week, right? Steelers play the Ravens next week. Is if the Steelers win the division. That's one way it doesn't happen. Lamar will not win MVP if the Ravens don't win the AFC North. And the other, and I don't think that Jared Goff would ever win. I don't think that he would win. because he's not going to have the stats and he doesn't have the pedigree. But if the Chiefs go undefeated or 16-1, I think Mahomes can win MVP and Andy Reid will win Coach of the Year if that happens. And if the Lions, who only have one loss, go 16-1, Dan Campbell could win Coach of the Year and Jared Goff could win MVP. Now, because the expectations, Joe, for those two teams were so high, I almost think, like, I don't think they can win with two losses. I think it almost has to be one loss for each of them. That's the only way Lamar loses.
All right, real quick before you go then, because the one everybody always wonders about around here, because they feel like he should have won two and maybe even three of these by now and got ripped off last year, is T.J. Watt. Is he the favorite for Defensive Player of the Year?
He is, and he's a minus choice. He's minus 140. He should be. Chris Jones is up next at plus 700. The thing that's going to hurt Chris Jones is if the Chiefs go 16-1, like, Mahomes is going to win MVP. Like, Chris Jones won't win Defensive Player of the Year. Will Anderson Jr. is 11-1. He has an ankle injury. I don't think he's playing on Sunday. That hurts his candidacy. Dexter Lawrence of my Giants, like, you could make the case, is actually the best defensive player in the league.
Yeah.
The Giants are also going to win, like, four games this year. Trey Hendrickson's 12-1. The Bengals are not going to win the AFC North. So I think as long as the Steelers make the playoffs, even if it's the 7 seed, they don't have to win the division. T.J. Watt's going to win Defensive Player of the Year. I actually think, guys, his price is short in this market right now to win DPOY.
Wow. Thank you, Nick. That was great.
Can I give you – I'll give you guys an anytime touchdown thought for the game on Sunday to answer Joel's question, kind of with what I'm talking about.
Please.
You want, if you have, like – okay. So I just want to make sure I have the number right. So the assumption, right, in the betting market, or just with anyone, and I'll ask you guys this, which Steelers tight end do you think is most likely to score a touchdown on Sunday?
Mount Washington for me. Friermuth.
Okay, you're going to say Friermuth.
Yeah.
See, everyone, and the betting market's going to say Friermuth, right? Friermuth is plus 325 to score a touchdown on Sunday. Meanwhile, Mount Washington is 11-1.
I love that.
So I'm just saying, like, Friermuth probably, like, in 100 games, if they play it, scores more often. But should the price discrepancy between Friermuth and Washington be that vast? I would much rather bet Darnell Washington at 11-1 than Pat Freiermuth at plus 325.
Told you, Donnie.
I like that logic. I never really thought about it that way.
I know.
But I like the way that Nick explained it there.
Nick, this is why why you lift all them weights.
Well, I mean, thank you. I am pretty swole right now. And like another one, Najee Harris is minus 105, Jaylen Warren's plus 325. Like, what if we get a report that they're going to be 1A and 1B? Like, Harris is probably more likely to score. Why wouldn't you bet plus 325 instead of minus 105? Just as an example.
Love it. Thank you, sir.
Wishing everyone minimal sweats winning bets the absolute very best of luck. And hey, I'm riding with you guys this week. Get me the terrible towel. Let's go Steelers.
This guy is a miracle worker, Donnie, isn't he? Huh?
He's got to go against his own NFC East here.
I know, but he's doing that. Yeah, he's great. Yeah, that's the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Nick Costos, Insider Calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. He's a miracle worker, Donnie, isn't he?
You know what popped into my head, though, when you brought up Defensive Player of the Year? The guy that I actually wagered on before the season started. He was not among the favorites. He was probably in that second or third tier. And he was well on his way. I bet on Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah, that was a good bet.
And the dude had like 8 sacks in 5 games. He was a monster.
I mean, this award is now just TJ's to win or lose. Like, if he just has a decent rest of the year, he's going to win in a landslide, it sounds like, from the betting odds, right?
Yeah, and he can do so, it seems, by not having his highest sack total or anything
like
that.
That's what I'm saying.
We still find he is able to impact games. Like, you think of the Vegas one. He had a couple of forced fumbles, whereas we knew he might not get a sack because they had nobodies on the other side that were edge rushers in that game. But, yeah, you brought up DPOY, and I just thought, well, there's a few dollars down the drain because Hutchinson got hurt. That one was looking really good for me.
Yeah, it was. There's no doubt about that. All right. Coming up, speaking of awards, The Athletic came out with their midseason NFL awards, and they also had a really interesting chart coming off, Nick, this is appropriate, of Vegas over-under win totals for every team before the season, and who has most exceeded that, and who has dropped the ball on expectations the most. Donnie, I don't want you cheating. I'm going to ask you some quiz questions coming up and I don't want you to prepare during the break.
Okay.
Okay?
That works for me.
I want this to be cold. And then top of the hour, we have a Commanders-themed quiz show from Jolie. And then our predictions. And mixed in with all of that, we're going to get back to what we said at the beginning of the show, and that is, how do we think this game's actually going to play out? Donnie and I are both of the opinion that there's going to be a course correction here for your Washington Commanders, that they're not quite as good as the record would indicate. When Bill Parcells said, you are what your record says you are, I always took that to be at the end of a season. A lot of times, midway through, you're actually not what your record says you are. And I don't think the Commanders are. Maybe they'll prove me wrong. Maybe the Steelers will have a course correction in the second half here. But I think they have some significant advantages going into this game. I think they're going to win. So does Donnie. We'll try to paint a picture of how we see the game playing out a little clearer coming up as well. And would love to hear your thoughts on that at 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Well, JP, he's been running his business for 43, so he's catching up fast. Plus, he has a hell of a mustache. We all know that. 43 years ago, JP decided he wanted to be his own boss. And you know what? That turned out to be a pretty good decision. This guy's just getting better with age, and so is his mustache. You can see him on billboards. I saw one out on Route 30 near the home office of JP Roofing and Siding. And he's a legend. When I've been out of golf tournaments, people want to come up. They want to get an autograph from Joe and his mustache. And like I said, he's winning MVP awards, back-to-back Northeast trifecta MVP. If you have a roofing or siding concern, whether it's preventative as the weather's about to turn or whether something's gone wrong and you need it fixed, this is the place to go. Tried and true. $500 off any roofing or siding installation right now. Give them a call at JP Roofing and Siding, 412-829-7711. That's 829-7711. It's another Donnie Football Friday. Yes, it is. Donnie Football sitting right across from me. I brought him luncheon 2 weeks ago for Donnie Football Friday. Today, he didn't bring enough for me. Not enough for the whole class. His girlfriend's pasta he brought in. And Donnie, I'm jealous and I'm hungry and I wish you had brought me some.
That can be arranged for next Friday, Joe.
I would love that. Same thing? Can she cook that again?
She could.
Yeah.
Or we could. It might be something else worked up.
Sure.
But I mean, pretty much everything she makes is good. I think you'll like it.
Yeah, I'd be ready for that, Donnie, and I would love that. Jolie, you want to order a pizza? I think we should. You hungry?
Pizza sounds incrinculant right now.
Let's do that. I think we should. All right, Donnie. I mentioned some of these odds and some of these awards battles that are going on in the NFL. We just had Nick Costos saying that TJ Watt is a prohibitive favorite to win Defensive Player of the Year. The Athletic has a great piece out. Mike Sando, familiar with his work? I think he's very good at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
He starts with this before we get into individual awards. He has Kevin O'Connell as his midseason choice for Coach of the Year. And he bases this in part on most improved teams. And what he's looking at is the Vegas line, the over-under win total for every team, and how much they're currently on pace to exceed that by. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, actually, the Vikings are not number one. Let me ask you a couple questions. Which team, based on its preseason projection, is most exceeding what was expected?
Probably the team that they're facing Sunday.
You're exactly right, Donnie. The Washington Commanders were over under 6.5 wins. The percentage by which they're exceeding that is 107.7%. They are like way. They've already exceeded it.
Yeah.
The Vikings are second. The Broncos are third. And the Steelers are fourth in teams radically exceeding their preseason expectations. Do we sometimes forget how low those were nationally?
Well, I'm trying to think of what the Vegas line was. I feel
it was eight.
Always. Okay.
Yeah, it was over under eight.
So just plain old eight, not 8.5.
Yep. At least that's what Sando has. Yep.
Which is surprising to me, and I understand that people sometimes want to be like the first guy there. They want to be the first guy to say, well, I predicted the Steelers to finally go below 500, and I'm going to be right once it happens. I feel like it has stretched a little bit further out there now where we see more people saying, oh, they'll win 8 games at best. They'll win 7 games. Maybe they'll even be 6-11.
Yeah.
And here they are at 6-2 at the bye week. Now, I know that you flip the schedule over, it looks a whole lot more daunting in this second half. But I've never been one to buy in, especially the last few years, that we can say whatever we want about Mike Tomlin. We can joke about the non-losing seasons thing. But I have to wait and see this man finish below 500 before I ever bet on him to do so.
Yeah, when we're talking whatever we think of the non-losing streak and all and the playoff winless streak, those are sort of separate from betting on the Steelers and on a week-to-week basis. You know what I mean? Because you're exactly right. They're simply a good bet when they're win total before the season is for them to have a losing record. I think you'd be crazy to make that bet.
Yeah, I mean, you just reminded me, now that we're talking about it, I absolutely bet on them to win over 8.5 games.
Yeah.
And even if they have a bad second half of the year, they're going to do that.
So the most surprising teams based on Vegas preseason projections are Washington, in order, Washington, Vikings, Broncos, Steelers, Cardinals. The Steelers are more surprising based on that than the Cardinals. And then the next five on that list are good teams. The Bills, Chiefs, Lions, Texans, and Falcons are all exceeding their projections. Okay, who's the most disappointing team in the league, do you think, based on that?
Cowboys. Or, can I guess another one?
Please.
The Cowboys or Jets?
The Jets were at 9.5. But they're not near the bottom, even though they had a high total there. They're not near the bottom. The most disappointing is Miami.
That would have been a good one, yeah.
Their number was 10. So they're the most disappointing. And then Cleveland, then Jacksonville, then the Saints, Cowboys, Raiders, Giants, Titans, and Jets. How about them apples, Donnie?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I got caught up in the thought of the Aaron Rodgers stuff and would have expected them to be one of the more disappointing, like closer to the bottom.
Yeah, I would have too, actually.
I actually forgot about the Dolphins being so bad.
And the Browns at 2-7. They were expected to be a pretty good team this
year.
And the Saints, I don't understand that one really, but that's there. They were 7.5 and they're 2-7.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Sando says, Lamar Jackson is my midseason MVP. Obviously not going out on a limb there. But in his own statistical category, which it's not his, but the one that he's using here is EPA. Familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
We won't get into the weeds on that. It's just a statistical category. And this is what you say about that, what he says about that. Jackson is averaging a 12, which is quadruple his 223 number. This guy is unbelievable right now, as we all saw last night. He's going to win the MVP again, Donnie.
Someone I'm surprised that is not in the conversation more, though,
yeah,
is Josh Allen.
Well, he's third on his list.
Because his big gripe, the big shot against him his whole career has been he turns it over too much. He's too careless with the football. He had 18 interceptions last season. He has two this year.
And he hasn't had a ton around him either. That's the other thing that bolsters Josh Allen's
case.
I mean,
until they traded for Amari Cooper, they really didn't have a dignified number one receiver.
Right, and he's having a little bit of a slow start there. The best assistant coach in all the NFL so far, according to Sando, L.A. Chargers defensive coordinator Jesse Minter. How about that?
He'll be one of the hot-to-trot guys getting a lot of interviews, I'm sure, come late December.
I would bet. And the Chargers, how seriously do you take them? I take them quite seriously because they've shown to have a really good defense. And when Justin Herbert is healthy, you combine an excellent quarterback with an excellent defense for whatever other issues you might have. That's a really good place, plus an excellent head coach. That's a really good place to start.
It does make me wonder if Justin Herbert was healthy and stayed in that game against the Steelers way
me
back
too.
When, how that game would have gone.
Me too.
I mean, because the Steelers did look assertive in that second half. They played bully ball, but when it got late in the game, Herbert was already out, and the Chargers posed no threat. But again, I mean, that Chargers defense, it didn't matter if Justin Herbert was on the field. That Chargers defense has been the real deal. And the Steelers kind of stormed it down their throat when the game was on the line.
Most improved defenses in the NFL at the midway point. I can see your eyes perking, or rather your ears perking to this, Donnie. Chargers 1,
mm-hmm.
Broncos, Vikings, Eagles, and Bears. The least improved, and the Steelers are right in the middle. They're basically, they're slightly improved.
And remember the mind behind that Vikings defense.
Brian Flores. They've been really good. The biggest drops among defenses, what's the biggest one in the whole league?
I think you could argue two of them played last night in the AFC North. I think Cincy and Baltimore have to be among the bottom five there.
That's why we pay you the big bucks and why you're called Donnie Football. The Baltimore Ravens are the worst or least improved. What's the phrase I'm looking for? They've had the biggest drop defensively in the whole league.
Like most disappointing defense, maybe?
Very good. Yes. They're the most disappointing. Jacksonville's next, Patriots, Cowboys, Panthers, and Browns, although they were overrated last year. Bengals are in the bottom 10, Donnie, but they're higher than you'd think. Only 22nd.
Yeah, so they're still in the bottom third.
Yeah, bottom third. Ravens, the worst. I'll say this much for the Ravens last night. They stunk, number one. Number two, their pass rush actually looked better than I thought it would. Their secondary looks borderline tragic. Once Hamilton left the game, they had guys the size of like Muggsy Bogues covering people. Did you notice that?
Yeah. I mean, Hamilton's a monster, so maybe he makes it look a little bit different. He's like 6'4 and playing safety. And plus, they made a little trade. They traded for Tre'Davious White. If this was...
They might as well have traded for, you know, I don't know, Mel Blunt at this point.
Well,
I mean, you know, once great, now not.
Right, that's what I was going to say. If this was 2018, I'd say, oh, man, like they're being serious, but...
No, Tre'Davious White's not going to help them in his current state.
We are far past his good days of football.
The Ravens' defense stinks, but I will say, strictly their pass rush looked way better last night. I thought Burrow made some phenomenal... escapes to make plays, didn't you?
Yeah, he did. I mean, he's got to be one of the better guys in the league, and that's why he is, I think, one of the best quarterbacks still. I always put him in the top three. He's one of the better guys in the league at climbing the pocket when things get bad around him, or he finds somewhere to go with the football when things look ugly in his face.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. The Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. It's a Donnie Football Friday. I'm a junkie for this stuff. You know, I never like to get too deep into, like, the weeds with the stats, but just the categories for me, Donnie, really have me going here. Here's the most improved offenses in the NFL, according to Mike Sando. First, let me tell you that Cliff Kingsbury is, he says, his clear choice for top offensive assistant in the league. You like that?
I mean, he's doing a hell of a job.
Did you wish at the time the Steelers had hired him? I remember writing in the offseason, bring this guy in. He's available. I don't like Artie.
I actually never really cared for him.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he's proving me wrong right now, and he'll be right back out on that head coaching circuit. But maybe, like, he could be a case of a little bit of hesitancy since, hey, you know, the first time around it didn't go all so well.
You're not going to believe the most improved offenses in the league. You're not going to believe it, really. Washington's one. We get that, mm-hmm. of course. Number two is the Jets, which tells you how historically horrendous they were last season. So bad, Donnie.
And oddly enough, I think record-wise, they were in a better spot this yes. time last year than they are right now.
I mean, they were just...
Man, second best in the league?
Unlike anything practically we had seen. Yeah, they have the second best jump in the league, according to this number. Falcons, Ravens, Bucks, the other most improved offenses in all of football halfway through. Which are the least? Which have taken the biggest drops? The most disappointing offenses. What's number one in the league?
I mean, I think it has to be the Dolphins, yes. given the Tua injury.
Do you remember the way that we were talking about the Dolphins and Tua and the boy genius Mike McDaniel at this time? Remember they put 70 on the Broncos,
yep.
running Harlem Globetrotter stuff. They were practically running the 3-man weave down the field. It was unbelievable the stuff they were doing.
Yeah, and I've never been huge on Tua as a player, but he certainly showed how valuable he is to that whole operation. Because even though they've had back-to-back losses since he was back, last week especially, I mean, they went toe-for-toe with Buffalo.
Yeah.
And they lost the game on a 60-plus yard
field. No, but when he's in there, they're dangerous, I'll say that. They're a pretty good team when Tua's there. But right now, having missed him for a couple weeks... They've taken the biggest drop, the most disappointing offense in football, followed by the Cowboys, Titans, Raiders, and Niners. The Niners is mostly about injuries, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. You lose McCaffrey and Ayuk, you're going to take a dip.
Where are the Steelers at on that list?
It's a wonderful question, Donnie, and they are 10th. They're a plus five, which puts them below the teams that have taken the biggest leaps offensively. However, don't we have to kind of look at the Steelers, every stat they have before Russell and after Russell?
Yeah, we're going to have like signals, like how they had like AD and BC.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because it's an uninformative number with the Steelers. Clearly they're better. They have an adult as their coordinator, and now they have an adult as their quarterback.
I mean, even in his absence, even with Justin Fields, it was not as big of a gap as this may be.
Yeah.
I thought the offense was still noticeably better than last season.
So did I. After a couple, I thought Kenny Pickett-like performances early, honestly. When you're not scoring a touchdown in
Correct.
A game, that's just not good. But the Steelers still... with all of that, have the 10th most improved offense in the league, right there with the Bengals, Cardinals, and right below the Chiefs. And the Bengals, of course, didn't have Burrow for a number of games last year, right? So Artie Smith, I think, should be on that list of coordinators that are doing the best jobs, I think. Do you?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he's another one. Maybe he's hesitant of... taking another head coaching job, but given the world that these guys are in, there's just so much turnover all the time that, okay, you have a pretty stable spot in Pittsburgh. You certainly have the fanfare on your side because you've come in here. The offense has looked a whole lot better than what we've seen basically in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
You've certainly been the best offensive coordinator in the last decade, and maybe you want to stick around here instead of taking another head coaching job. Now, this is all hypothetical, but I would have to imagine he's at least a name that would pop up for franchises around the league.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at the Atlanta tenure and just say, hey, but we have a quarterback. We think that Artie with a quarterback is
different. I mean, he was working with Desmond Ridder.
Yeah, now, partially due to his own choices, yeah. I would say that. But Artie with a quarterback, like anybody else, is different. Teams that score on the highest percentage of their drives, I mentioned this earlier, Washington leads the NFL. They score on 60.7% of their drives. Chiefs, Patriots, Falcons, and Ravens after that. Can you believe Donnie?
How did the Patriots sneak into there?
Oh, I made a big mistake. The Commanders, completely misread that chart. The Commanders have one of the highest rankings in recent NFL history. This is funny. Along with the 2018 Chiefs, the 2007 Patriots is what I'm talking about. The 16 Falcons and the 19 Ravens. Donnie, what is going on here? The Commanders right now are scoring on way higher a percentage of their drives than the 07 Patriots. They were pretty good. You remember them? All the blowouts they had?
Yeah, they scored a few touchdowns.
That's an eye-opener.
That really is.
And I'm glad you helped me clarify that.
Well, I was quite confused that an offense led by Jacoby Brissett and a little bit of Drake May would be sneaking its way into the top
five. Were you a Drake and Josh guy? I imagine you were.
Oh, I loved that show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was right in my era, my wheelhouse.
Yeah, my daughter, for some reason, she never watches TV. Nobody her age, 16, does anymore. Has been watching Drake and Josh lately, so I've been hearing the theme song to that.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Yeah, my stepson, when he was tiny, used to watch it all the time, so it's very nostalgic.
Oh, yeah.
What a great show. Who'd you like better, Drake or Josh?
Josh.
Yeah, me too.
I was always able to relate a little bit more to the big fella. But then as that show went on, you had like big Josh, and then he started to slim down.
He did.
He was just kind of chubby, and then he was just in shape
The end of it. I actually thought that took away from the show. Jolie, were you a Drake and Josh guy?
A little bit here and there.
Yeah, little Zoe 101 at times.
What about iCarly?
iCarly was great.
I watched iCarly a bit.
Yeah. I love the theme song to that show, too.
It is a good theme song.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Zoe 101, Donnie, a little bit?
I watched it.
Yeah.
That unfortunately had to come to an end because the main character got pregnant in real life.
Yeah, that'll change the show around.
Yeah.
How about the Berenstain Bears?
I watched that as a child.
Yeah, a nice moral at the end of
all of those, not to bring this on a down note, but all of those Nickelodeon shows, there's a pretty, I would say, damning documentary out there. I think it's on HBO, you have that, or Max.
I don't want to know. I just want to remember the happy memories.
Yeah. The guy that made those shows, not a great guy.
How about Hannah Montana?
I rarely watched it. I was more of a Nickelodeon guy.
Yeah.
Now, Sarah watched it relentlessly.
Who was the purple dinosaur?
Barney.
Yeah, I didn't want her watching that. It seemed mildly disturbing. Did you watch that?
I watched that as a kid, yeah.
Yeah? Any effects later in life?
I don't think so. I watched the Teletubbies, too. I liked that little crew.
That little crew. Jolie, were you a... what was his name again? Barney. Did you watch that show?
Yeah, I did.
Well,
yeah.
That was a good one. Rewind here. It was a good one. What was compelling about Barney? It was a horrible show on top of the weirdness of it.
He really got the crowd into it.
Did he?
I don't know. I don't remember. I was like three.
Okay. What did you like about that show, Jolie?
I think it was just the I love you, you love me.
Yeah.
There we go.
You know, that mentality.
Was nice.
You know?
Actually, that's a nice song to hear, I think. You know, the people who invented the Berenstain Bears were from Beaver County, Donnie.
Was it Ron?
Good thought, Donnie. Good thought.
Did Limits leave you with the Ron clips? Is there any way we can hear Ron's voice? Because that was a great line by Donnie Football. Yeah, I'll take that one. Does that make you remember Ron fondly, Donnie?
It does. And now I'm actually looking into Barney, Joe.
Yeah.
The guy that played him, I'll send you a picture. Well, he voiced Barney for 8 years.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like Ed Bouchette.
Maybe it was Ed. Maybe
his name was Bob West, but he looks like Ed Bouchette.
A little moonlighting. And certainly my intention here is not to slander Barney in any way. I just had my own personal choice with that show and what she was going to watch. That's all. But the song itself was nice, Donnie.
Yeah, it had a nice message.
Sure.
Joe, we have some breaking news
we can get into
about this game up next.
Whoa, that's a good radio tease. Let me tell you before that, Mike Sando's Defensive Player of the Year. Guess who he's got?
Dexter Lawrence?
Yes.
He is having a hell of a year. I mean, if that guy was on like even a half decent team, I think he'd win. I mean,
but he's not close in Vegas, probably for that reason.
Yeah.
He says of Lawrence, 6'4", 340, 9 sacks in 9 games. And he said, although defensive tackles won 3 of the first 4 Defensive Player of the Years in history, with Joe Green winning twice, Aaron Donald is the only defensive tackle to win that award since 2000. How about that, Donnie? Huh?
I knew, and I guess he would have been a defensive end, so never mind. I was going to say J.J. Watt had 3, but you would classify him more as an end. But, I mean, he is having Correct, yeah. He's having an Aaron Donald-esque season.
Yeah.
Just on a bad team.
Well, that's the problem. I'm thinking that T.J. just has to be decent the rest of the way. Good, you know. Doesn't have to be spectacularly great, and he's got that. Very quickly, Sando's Offensive Player of the Year, Derrick Henry, is Offensive Rookie. Obviously, Jaden Daniels, Defensive Rookie, Jared Verse from the Rams. That guy's a monster.
I bet on him. I bet on him to win that award before the season.
I love watching him. Comeback Player of the Year, Kirk Cousins, beats out Rodgers and Burrow. Do you agree with that, Donnie?
Man, Burrow might be tough to beat. I mean, because he's probably not going to win MVP, but man, he is... At the rate he's going, I mean, we saw what he did last night. He's had a couple of down games. He's having a great year.
All right. That's all I can do here. Donnie and I with a Commander-Steelers-related quiz show.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.